So anyway, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me. We're going to look in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. If you're using that blue Bible in front of you, that's on page 779. If you don't want to use your Bible, we're going to provide the words for you on the screen above me. So Luke, chapter 1. Today, we're going to look at verses 26 through 38. And before we read the passage, I want to say this. In the Bible, we have the story of the first Christmas in two different books, two different places. First, if you read the book of Matthew, which is told by the disciple Matthew, he tells the story of the first Christmas, and he tells it from the vantage point, the viewpoint of Joseph, who is the earthly father of Jesus. So Matthew tells the story of the first Christmas from the viewpoint of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And then if you turn into Luke, which is where we're going to look today, you're going to see Luke, who is this physician, who's this doctor. He shares the story of the very first Christmas, but he shares it from the perspective of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So there's two different perspectives, from the father and from the mother. Today we're going to look at that from the perspective of Mary. So with that being said, let's dive in. I'm going to have Heather come this morning, and she's going to read the text so that we can save some valuable, valuable time. So how's that sign? Everybody say, hey, Heather. All right, let's roll. Everybody together. Hey, why don't we do this together just to change position? Why don't we just stand to our feet for the reading of the word? Can we do that just one last time? And let's read. Heather will read. We can follow along.
Luke 1, 26 through 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
All right. Just one thing I want you to notice. Heather read out the New Living Translation, but if you look in most other translations, verse 37 reads this way. Can we read it together, everybody? "For with God, nothing is impossible." Let's say that again. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to look at the story of the first Christmas from the perspective of Luke, who's looking at the story of the first Christmas through the vantage point, the viewpoint of the mother of Jesus, who we all know as Mary. And if you look at those first verses, if you still have your Bible, I think it's the first three verses, we're going to learn something, a couple very important things we see about Mary. And first of all, I just want to say this right off the bat. Mary is a relatively young lady. Most scholars believe maybe she's about, some scholars believe as young as 12 or 13 years old. Some scholars at the oldest, she's 19, and most land somewhere in the middle. So I just want you to get this in your mind that this angel appears to this girl that's probably about a freshman in high school. I mean, that's, to me, that's pretty mind-boggling. That the angel's going to come not to an adult, not to somebody seasoned, not to somebody that understands everything, but the angel's going to come to this young girl who is probably like a freshman in high school. And I want you to see this, that first of all, the first thing that we discover is that she is engaged. The text tells us that she's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. And I just want to say just a couple things to set the table concerning this engagement. First of all, this engagement or this marriage to be is what today we would call an arranged marriage, meaning the parents got together and they said, "Hey, we think your son's a great guy." And then they said, "Hey, we think your daughter's a great girl." hey, why don't these two get together? How many people are into arranged marriages? Anyone? No one. Why is mothers are raising their hands. I see a few mothers are, yeah, that's a great idea. How many kids who aren't married yet would say that would be a great idea? Any college students, you think that would, I think it would be a great idea. We have wisdom. We have great discernment. We have experience, okay? So I just want to say something else about this engagement. This is an arranged marriage, and I wanted to let you know that there would be a payment involved, meaning Joseph, the soon-to-be, the groom-to-be, would have to pay a sum of money to the father of the bride. So just get that, guys. Just think if you had to pay for your wife. And you say, well, why is that? Because you need to understand that Mary was a part of her dad's workforce, meaning she would go out and she would labor in the fields, and now he's going to lose that workforce, and Joseph has to pay for it, okay? By the way, guys, did any of you pay for your bride? How many are saying you're still paying for your... Did somebody say that? I didn't hear that over there. Does somebody want to repeat that? I'm still paying for it, right? Lord, sanctify this side of the congregation. So the cool thing is these parents are getting together and they're saying, hey, we think this would be a good match. I'm going to tell you a real funny story real quick that when Heather and I were engaged, my mother, who was still alive at that time, on about three or four occasions, she actually went to Heather with this question, are you sure you want to marry Michael? I'm like, well, thanks a lot. So Heather, that's true, isn't it?
Two times.
She asked Heather, are you sure you want to get married to Mike? And I'm like, she got the best. I mean, come on. But anyway, that was her MO, okay? That's just the way she operated. And God, she was awesome. Anyway. So anyway, basically, I got to get over that right now. We got to get back to this, okay? Anyway, this is a time where Joseph, the second thing is that this engagement would last for about 1 year, for a period of 1 year, and actually this 1 year would be what we would call a testing season. And I want you to hear this clearly, because in that culture, the test was all about the bride's purity. Testing to see if the bride was pure, it was a test of her character. It was really a season where the groom-to-be would say, hey, is this somebody that I really want to spend the rest of my life with? So this engagement was a big, big deal, this 1 year period. The second thing we discover about Mary right off the bat in this text is very unusual. And we read that she has this, God sends this angelic visitor named Gabriel. By the way, we read about Gabriel having visits with people in the Old Testament. Now we see that Gabriel's having visits with people in the New Testament. And he has this visit with Mary. We're not told what the setting was. Was she in her room at night and doing what teenage girls do in their room? I don't know, listening to different music, or was she sleeping, or was she out in the field working? We're not told what the context is, but we're certainly told what the message was, because in the text we see that the message was a message that was going to change her life dramatically. I want you to get this. This isn't a little thing, but this is big. Everybody say, this is big. You got to say it with some attitude. This is big, okay? This is big. So this is going to be a message where Mary thought she was heading this direction, but she gets this message from the angel, and now she's going to be heading a whole new different direction. It's going to turn her life upside down. It's going to turn everything. It's going to change her plan that she may have had for her own life, okay? And the message was this. Listen to the message very clearly. The message is that she, in this season engagement, she's going to become pregnant. So within this 1 year testing period, she hears this message that she's going to become pregnant. And if you think about this, here's the thought. She's going to become pregnant outside of wedlock. And in that culture, it wasn't looked upon very favorably at all. It actually would be the cancelization of the engagement. It would be over. And I want you to look at verse 1, because here's the message. The message is to Mary that you're going to conceive, and you're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a son. So the angel says you're going to have a son, and then the angel even gives greater detail in the text if you want to look at it with your Bibles open, and that is that you're going to name this son Jesus. Can we all say that name together this morning? Jesus. Don't say it, but do you know what that name Jesus means? That name Jesus means Savior. So meaning you're going to have a baby who's going to be the Savior of the world. I mean, he's going to save the sins. He's going to save people from their sins, not only in the present, but in the future and in the past. That's how big this Jesus is. He's going to save you today from your sins. He's going to save me today from my sins. He's going to save us from our sins. Why? Because here's the whole deal. He came to save us from our sins, so for one reason, so that we can have peace with God. How many people know that outside of Jesus Christ, we have no peace with God? Does everybody understand that? Is that crystal clear this morning? That outside of Jesus, the scripture actually says that we're enemies of God because of our sin. But because of Jesus, because he came and he became our Savior, we can now have peace with God, but only through Jesus Christ. So Mary receives this message. You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save people from their sins. He's going to be the Savior of the world. I mean, that's a pretty weighty message. I don't think there's been a greater message in all history that people have received than the message that Mary received at this moment with this encounter with Gabriel, okay? And I love it because Mary simply responds with only one question. She didn't do a lot. We're not told that she did a lot of arguing, a lot of hemming and hawing and all that different thing, but she basically came with one question. And here's the question that she had. She said to the angel, she says, but how can this happen? And the context is there, how can I become pregnant? And then she gives this reason. She says, because I know my body, I know myself, I know where I've been, I'm a virgin. And I want you to get that this morning. So Mary asked this really, it's like a million-dollar question, how can this happen? And see, I believe that Mary's asking this question for the obvious reason, and that is that she's received a message from an angel that she has labeled. I want all of us to say that word together because I want you to catch this. Everybody say labeled. So she has received a message that she has labeled as a message that is, it's impossible. It's impossible because we know, we learned in school that virgins don't have babies. So it's impossible. And she's labeling it impossible. So what I want you to do right now, this is where we're all going to participate. I hope you have something to write with. I want you to get out your pad, your little post-y note. And I want you on the very top of your post-y note, I want you to do what I'm going to be doing here as we do it together. I want you to simply write the word impossible. Does everybody know how to spell that? I'm only kidding. Impossible. So this is what it should look like on your paper right now. Impossible. I want you to write that out and put it on your paper to look just like that. So the angel has told her something that in her mind she has labeled in her life that this is not possible, it's impossible. So here's a question that I want you to begin to think about because we're going to land on this question in a bigger way at the end of the message. But right now I want you to begin to get the wheels turning. Is everybody engaged here this morning? I want you to get the wheels turning. I want you to think about this. Is there an area in your life that you would put this label on in your life? Is there an area in your life that you would label today as impossible? I want you to think about that. Is there an area in your life that you would label impossible? I've been thinking about that myself because I've been preparing this message, and really there's been about two things in my life that I would say, you know, Lord, I think it's almost like it's an impossibility that this could happen. So I've done my homework, and I've got these two things ruminating in my heart, saying, Lord, I kind of think these things are impossible. So how about you? Is there something in your life? And I want you to get really, I don't want you to be surfacey here this morning. I want you to get deep. And I want you to be real. And I want you to be authentic. And I don't want you to be churchy. Churchy would say, I believe. I've been told that all things are possible. But there's the real you. When you're alone in your quiet place, when you're alone and nobody can, that place where nobody reads your mind, just alone and you just say, hey, this just seems like an impossibility to me. Is there an area of your life? And I want to let you know, if your answer is yes, I want to reassure you that you're in some very good company this morning, okay? Because if we go back to the text, we're going to see that Mary had something in her life that she would put a post-it note on. And she would say, this is the area of my life where it's impossible. And that's why she asked the question to Gabriel. And she says, how can this be? How can this really happen? It just seems like it's an impossibility. Then I love Angel Gabriel's response to the question of this teenage girl, this freshman in high school. The angel says to Mary's question, and he answers the question by saying, hey, your pregnancy is not something that's natural. I want to let you know your pregnancy is something that is supernatural. It's not a human effort. It's a God thing, okay? It's a miracle. And that's why this, look at what the angel said again. The angel says to Mary, you know, your pregnancy, here's the answer, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. I mean, that's pretty powerful if you think about it. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon this girl living in this no-name town and village, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Amazing answer. Then in verse 37, if you're still looking at the text, we see Gabriel's final words to Mary. And Gabriel's final words to Mary is what we've been looking at all this morning. The angel says, hey, for nothing will be impossible with God. What I want to do is, because I'm learning something in my life, I'm learning that there's power in verbal declaration. So part of my time often is I have a list of declarations in my life that in my prayer time, I make these verbal declarations. So I want us to make a declaration this morning, and this is the declaration that I want us to make verbally today, and I'm asking for everybody's involvement. I want our declaration today to be, for with God, nothing is impossible. Can we all say that together? For with God, nothing is impossible. So what did you write? What is the thought in your mind on your post-it note? I want you to make that declaration together one more time. For with God, nothing is impossible. Okay? And sure enough, what the angel Gabriel said would happen certainly did happen. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the very next page, chapter 2. We see the fulfillment of the prophecy, okay? Let me read it to you, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first sentence taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Verse 5, he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was now expecting a child. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came. Everybody say that together, the time came. The time came for what? The impossible to become reality. The time came for her to have her baby. The time came for her baby to be born. There we go. And she gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth, and she laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So when Mary said, hey, this is impossible, the thing that she labeled as impossible, as you read the story, now you see that the impossible became possible. We see that just as the angel said, the reality is she had a baby. And we see that in Bethlehem, she had a baby boy, and she named her boy Jesus. So folks, I just want us to begin to wind down. We're going to begin to land this thing this morning. And I want us to say this, well, I missed the slide. Can everybody say, sorry? But I just want us to say that one more time. For with God, nothing is impossible. What we see in this story is a virgin gave birth to a son, and the son's name would be Jesus, and he would be the Savior of all of us. He was the one who came to forgive us of our sin. So here's what I want to do as we just kind of wrap this up this morning. I want to get really personal with you. We've already started this digging a little deeper. And I want to ask you again, what is it in your life? What is it in your life that you have labeled as impossible? Is everybody listening to Mike? What is it that you've labeled as impossible? So on your paper, if you feel comfortable enough, And I understand that you might not want to write things down because there's people around you. My challenge for you this week is to do this. My challenge for you this week is to take this piece of paper into a private place. And take this into a private place, and would you begin to write out some things? Get honest with God, okay? And I want you to write on that paper, what are the things? Write what. Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's two things. What is the thing that you would label as impossible? Maybe for you, you say, well, I have an addiction in my life, and I don't think I'll ever break free of that addiction. That would be, I label that as impossible. Maybe you have an addiction. It could be to drugs. Your addiction could be to alcohol. You could have a gambling addiction. It could be an addiction to pornography. Maybe it's your cell phone. Maybe it's an addiction to food or shopping. Maybe it's an addiction that you have to need. You have the need to always have to control people and situations. And you look at your life and you say, you know what? I think it's impossible that I'll ever break free from that addiction. I just don't. It's been in part of my life for so long. I don't see how I could ever be free. Maybe you say this. Maybe this is your impossibility in your life. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you put the label on your marriage to say, hey, I don't think I could ever have a thriving marriage. There's just too much that has happened. There's just too much ugliness that's happened. And it just seems like an impossibility that we can ever go from just surviving to thriving. Isn't that good? I like that. We need that more often. The piano coming. Okay. Here's another thing that you may want to label as impossible. Maybe you've been praying for somebody for a long time. Somebody that doesn't have a relationship, doesn't have faith in Christ, and you've been praying for them for a long time. And you're just saying, oh God, I've kind of given up. I just label that person as impossible, that they could ever come to God. Here's one I think a lot of people have. You label it as impossible that God could ever love you. Some people in this room label that as impossible that God could ever forgive you. You don't know what I did. You don't know my past. You don't know the person. I mean, I can come to church and look one way, but you don't know what I've done before, and I don't think God could ever love me. I don't think God could ever forgive me, and you labeled that as something in your life that you would say, that's impossible. Or maybe your impossibility is that you can forgive a person who's hurt you. You say, you know what, Mike, you don't know what that person did to me. And you don't know how deep that scar is. And you put a post-it note in your life. You put a post-it note, not literally, but figuratively. You put a post-it note and you labeled that as impossible. And you said, God, it's impossible that I can ever have what it takes to truly forgive that person. They hurt me so deeply. Maybe this is your impossibility that you're in such debt. And you're like, I could never get out of debt. It's just impossible. We are so far buried that it's just impossible. Maybe it's a health issue for you. You're just like, I just don't think God could ever touch me. I don't think I could ever feel good again. I have felt bad for so long. I've had this chronic pain in my life. I've had these headaches. I've had whatever it may be. And you think, it just seems like an impossibility that I could ever feel like I've felt before. Here's the deal. I can't go through a slide of everything that you might label as impossible because the list is endless. And we're all unique and we're all different and we all have things in our life. But what is it in your life that this week you're going to write on your piece of paper and you're going to write on that piece of paper that it's impossible? It's impossible. It's impossible that I'll ever have a job that I like. It's just impossible. So whatever it is for you, is everybody listening to me? Whatever it is for you, I have good news. Is everybody ready for good news? And here's the good news. I want us all to say the good news together. With God, all things are possible. Can we say that again? With God, all things are possible. That's the good news this morning. With God, all things are possible. So what I want you to do now, I want you to take your pencil or whatever you're using. I want you to cross out the word impossible. Is everybody participating? And what I want you to now write on the bottom, because you're going to write this week, you're going to write your answers in the middle. On the bottom, I want you to write the word possible. And I want you to put an exclamation mark. So I want you this week to cross out impossible, cross it off, and I want you to put in the word possible. And I want everybody to really zero in and listen very carefully as we really come to a close here. It may be things that you wrote down or you're going to write down, or there's going to be things in your mind that you have labeled as impossible. And I want to say this. And now you've written the word possible, I want to say this. These things are not possible on your own. Does everybody hear me? These things are not possible on your own. How do I know? Because I've tried it on my own. How many people can say yes? Include me in on that conversation. I've tried it on my own, and it may have worked for a day or two or a week or a month, but long term, it has not worked. I want to let you know, in order for these things to be possible, you got to connect yourself to the source of all power. And how many people know the source of all power is who? Jesus. He is the source of all power. Okay? You say, well, Mike, how can I do that? Well, what are the steps that I need to take in order to connect with God? Well, it came upon me this week for the first time after reading this passage for years. It came upon me how we do this week as I read verse 30, I think it's verse 38. Look at what Mary did. Mary responds to the angel in closing. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said to me come true. You know what Mary's doing there? What Mary is really saying there is this is what Mary's doing right here in this one picture. When Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, may everything you have said about me come true. What she's really doing is she is basically surrendering to God. She's going big time with surrender, and she's surrendering to his ability. She's surrendering to his power. She's surrendering to the things that only he can do. Now, I want to let you know, if you're going to go from the impossible to possible, you're going to have to say, God, I can't do it alone. And you're going to have to come to a place in your life like Mary, and you say, God, I surrender. I'm your servant. I surrender to your power. I surrender to your will. I surrender to what you want. God, I'm alleviating myself from this equation. And God, I'm throwing myself into you. And I'm saying, God, it's only because of you that I can do this. So I just want to encourage you today. We went from impossible to possible. And it's only available if we surrender to God and you say, God, I know I can't do it. God, I know I can't do it. Why do I know that? Because I've tried. And God, I'm just going to give myself completely to you in this area. This area that's just been a road bump in my life for so long. An area where it's just kept me from going forward to where I believe you want me to be. God, this is the season, this Christmas, I'm going to just surrender everything and say, God, take the impossible in my life and make it possible. So let me ask you this question as we close, and you can put your paper away. Let me ask you this. Have you come to God with your impossible situation? Have you truly come to God with your impossible situation? And have you truly surrendered it to him? Have you really come to the point where you say, I'm out, and God, you're in. I need you, and I need your power, because I know with you all things are possible. So what I want us to do is I just want us to bow our heads this morning. I just want this to be a moment where we just totally reflect on God and his abilities. See, Mary, there was nothing about her in the equation. She just surrendered and said, God, I need your help to do what only you can do, to take the impossible and to make it possible. So right now, I just want to encourage you, could this be a time right now for the next few minutes where you begin a new journey and you begin to say, God, I take my hands off. And God, I'm going to begin to pray some big prayers, some bold prayers. And I'm going to really just lean into you for you to do what only you can do. Because God, I declare today that with you all things are possible. So Father, I just pray that you'd be at work in people's lives, be at work in my situations that I've labeled as impossible. And Lord, help me to let go of trying to manipulate circumstances and situations and outcomes. And Lord, help me to truly open my hands as we all open our hands to surrender, to say, Lord, we need your help to do what only you can do. So Lord, I just pray that there'd be people set free from addictions. I pray that there'd be miracles in marriages. I pray that there would be financial freedom in people's lives. God, I just pray that there would be great transformation in people that they've never seen before, and they would not continually be caught up in being this person they don't want to be. But God, that they would truly see transformation and becoming the person you want them to be. God, I just pray that you take some things that we have labeled as impossible and make them possible, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.